When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I like sucking.
Come on, man.
Legit bad podcast.
He has a legit bad.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
I was listening to one of your shows, I think it was just from today, or maybe yesterday, the one about the iguanoids. I've never heard of that.
If you want me to start ranting or if you want me to just sort of break it down, but the idea is that these certain extraterrestrials, there's some of them that are, they look sort of like iguanas, if you will, but not necessarily in the way in which we think of the traditional reptilian form. It's more in that of a humanoid form, which is interesting because it's been detailed back in 2001, according to an ex-military whistleblower, that in this particular dimension that we live in, they have yet to figure out. And when I say they, I'm talking about the military-industrial complex and scientists, you name it. I think that they have, but again, they claim to have yet to figure out why these aliens must be in a humanoid form. Now, again, we say humanoid because that's how we perceive it, right? But right. Humanoid meaning literally, you know, Homo sapien. It doesn't have to be the way that we look. So again, it's hard to say, but these suits allegedly that it look identical to clothes, except they tend to be in the color of blue, are actually holographic suits that tend to manifest physically a totally different, like, disguise, if you will.
That is wild.
So this is like a military document? And that's where this information came from?
So essentially back in 2001, there was something called the National Press Club, and it was held by Dr. Stephen Greer. Now, I know that he is a controversial figure, but putting him aside, more so, it was the people that he gathered. Because even if you take him respectively out of the picture, there were still, these people still had their credibility, these military officials and what have you, right? So one of them had said, I believe there were about 23 or 24, in addition to a couple hundred in the back of this showing, that said, at the time, they had categorized 57 different species, and that was just what that soldier knew about. And that was, those 57 species were just species that looked like us, where you could walk right by them, you wouldn't tell. Now, the difference was that they had, according to this soldier, or they had heightened senses, they could see in the dark, all those kind of things. Now, again, the problem is because things are so compartmentalized, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. He could have been lied to unless he had seen it himself. He could have been deceived because, you know, if there's a little bit of disinformation in there, that's done on purpose in case he were to start talking like he did, right? So they give a little bit of disinformation in there so they can trace it back to who leaked it. But that's the general concept. And assuming there are, again, I think more at this point that we've discovered, but let's just say 57, and those are just the ones that look like us. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, that's wild. We were just talking about different races, and you know, all the famous ones like the Nordics or Pleiadians that kind of look like elves, or, you know, Swedish people. But in the reptilian, so that is would be under the category of a reptilian, or is that?
Yes. So there's sort of like a general web or branch, if you will, of different reptilian species, as we call them reptilian, right? I'm not sure what they would refer to themselves as, but scattered across different light years of the galaxy. Some of them are very human looking with sort of like the slit eyes, if you want to call it. Some of them literally have the ability to change their facial and physical features in real time. A very advanced combination of biological technology and nanotechnology, but it would be more so that of what's called a holographic substrate. So basically it's holograms that we think of now, except way more advanced. So it would be like, you guys know like a Tupac hologram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that, except Tupac can, that hologram can actually manifest physically. You can touch it, the whole thing.
What the
fuck? And it doesn't, technically, as far as they've been able to tell, the manifestation of the hologram itself isn't from an outsourced projector. It's coming from somewhere on them. Correct.
Somewhere on them. However, it's interesting that you bring that up, brother, because they seem like a lot of them have the ability to interface with thought. And that's a very tricky thing to sort of think about. I also think that's why whatever we're seeing now, whether it's disclosure or just a false hype up, I think the final element will be the interfacing with consciousness and energy element that I believe at the highest levels of the unacknowledged special programs, they know fully well. And I say that because even down the chain, they're constantly deceived. Like, for example, in the 1980s, CIA director, I think it was director William Casey or Kolb. I think it was Casey.
Casey, at that point.
Thank you. Yes. Casey had told Reagan that they have yet to figure out how to reverse engineer the propulsion systems. My humble opinion, based on my research, total bullcrap.
They
knew from the beginning how anti-gravity worked. They reverse engineered it within a matter of months. So again, it just goes to show you, even people like the president, not anymore because they're not let in nearly as much, but people like Reagan, he was one of the last to sort of have that little glimpse into the shadow government, the rogue element, if you will. And he was told lies
before they became completely just puppets.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I mean, Eisenhower warned about it too, but ultimately these different grays and their different capabilities and races, it's pretty insane. Apparently when President Eisenhower in 1954 met with the certain races at what is no longer, but at the time, the Edwards Air Force Base, they manifested and changed shape in front of him, sort of like they changed their foreheads to kind of look like those you know, those aliens in Star Trek with the kind of weirdly shaped foreheads.
What are those called?
They would do basic things like that to President Eisenhower just to show him, you know, like.
So I do have a question for you on that, it just so that I have a visual representation, because like obviously like Joe and much less than Joe, I have zero knowledge on any of this. When you're talking about iguana-ish like, would it be kind of similar to like the Argonian race and say the Elder Scrolls? Like they are human, but they look like
not
lizards.
Everyone knows what that is, Ben.
I know,
yeah, right? I'm... Like
sort of. I don't, Camden. Do you want to jump in or?
Well, yeah, I would just say they're that's kind of in their stature. They're like 6 foot tall kind of beings,
like humans.
Yeah, these iguanoids are like 4 to 5 feet. They're kind of like squatter, you would say, really. And so they're like, I would really just call them hominids, I guess is the best word. They're bipedal things that look like we perceive like stand up sentient beings to be, but they're reptilian face-ish.
But is all that just hologram technology too though? I mean, can they just, is that how they can shapeshift, is because that's just kind of not really there?
Right. That's even the further speculation. Is that even their, I guess, what do you call it? True form.
Is that
what they've decided to be on this planet in this realm?
It doesn't seem like that far of a stretch, though. I mean, if you think about it, like a cow and a dog are both walking on four legs. And if a cow saw a dog, they would be like, holy shit, what's that? It's not me. It doesn't look like me. It still walks like me. And it has some of the same movements, but it's not 100% like me. I mean, you could kind of compare it across any sort of species, even the human race. We don't look like people from Africa, I guess, unless they're from South Africa. But I mean, there's so many different races of human that if another an alien saw us, and they saw me as opposed to someone from Japan or someone from Africa, they would be like, whoa, are those two different things or are they the same? Right. They wouldn't really
Oh, I was going to say, which still happens in Aboriginal tribes that don't have internet and things of that nature. They'll get other races that stumble upon their islands and are hostily met because the Aboriginal tribes who have lived there and know nothing more than that island are like, nope, you don't belong here. You're fucking aliens and I don't like you. Go ahead.
Well, sorry, I just wanted to mention very quickly, speaking of the iguanoids and the different variations of them, I want to also make it really clear too that there's different variations of iguanoids, different variations of grays, different variations of what look very similar to us. And we don't know on a public level if some of that is the result of crossbreeding, having nothing to do with Earth, right? From many, many, God knows how long ago. We don't know if it has to do with experimentation, with natural crossbreeding, or if there are just simply, you know, different variations, just like with humans, right? There are different, I guess you could call them subcultures, sub-ethnicities, if you will. So it's hard to say, sort of like, you know, the physical differences between that of Caucasian and say someone from the Eurasia continent, right?
Yeah.
Well, to either of you, that was actually going to be my follow-up question, and one that quickly came to my head was how, when you say going down the rabbit hole with this, considering that even Joe and Jen hadn't heard of iguanoids, how, when we're talking about aliens and we're talking about how real that is, because I'm very quickly turning on to like that being a very real thing that I'm just having to, you know, accept. And how defined and concrete is the evidence for these versus like the monsoon of information that we have on grays?
So before you answer that, I was going to bring that up because I love your point with evidence versus proof.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't think, well, you could call some of it proof, I guess, but exactly what Ben said. What's the evidence?
I just want to say Camden and myself stand by the principle of the fact that the word evidence means that we have probable cause to suggest a particular outcome or a particular set of outcomes. Proof means like, no, I have it right here. Proof meaning like, this is my cell phone, I have it, this is what it is, I can touch it and feel it, right? When it comes to different, I guess you could say, variations or pieces of evidence, it's definitely there. Whether it's documents that Albert Einstein, Majestic 12, and it's interesting because all of the, I guess you could say, damning pieces of evidence have been pushed onto mainly the dark web. We're on Rofkin, right? I could say that, right?
Okay. We're on Rofkin.
They've mainly been pushed to the dark web, but on top of that, the ones that have made it to the front end of the internet and the odd mainstream media outlet that's covered as certain ones, it's been very simple. The FBI and the CIA, the NSA, they've all come out and just said it's bogus. Literally, there was and still is allegedly a group of high level academics, politicians, government officials, and military generals that are part of the government, of course, right? That's how they have their staff here. But
of course,
they're
how else are they going to bring down their research? You have to have somebody in the position to be able
right,
to front
exactly.
That.
And so what happens is they are what's called a rogue or shadow element or group, right? And I wouldn't call them the deep state. They're different. They're loyal to one another and not the Constitution. Why is that? They are solely responsible for taking what truth and what BS they want to put out there and squishing it together and sending it down the line. It's called drop feeding, right? Slowly but surely, you can't, sort of like fishing, you reel them in, right? Now,
Breadcrumbs.
Now they allegedly have, they're called Majestic 12, they're called Zodiac. It's many different names for, you know, psychological warfare reasons, generally speaking, but it's simple. Some of those documents leaked years ago. And you know what the CIA did? They literally took a black marker, one of the agent officers there, a case officer, and wrote bogus on it. They sent it out I'm serious. They sent it out to the press and that was it. That was it. The CIA said it's bogus. So, okay. That's it.
Well, don't they do that with pretty much everything?
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is why even when there's a car accident down the road from me and it's reported on the TV, I don't trust it. That's the problem.
You know? So would you say that then this, you know, shall we say, 12, they're not, would it be, accurate to say that they are just dedicated to the research. They don't care what happens to humanity. Right. They don't care what happens in the government, what comes down on anybody. All they want to do is keep their research safe. And if they, and if that means they feed the public BS, well, then so be it. We don't fuck the public. We're trying to keep our research intact and safe.
That's their general stance on most things. Fuck the public. That's all you got to know.
Right, but they're also not for the government. That's I believe that was his point, was that they're not with them either.
Okay, so this is I want to let Camden jump in because he's pretty well versed on this too, but I'll start it off. Basically, what happened was, have you guys heard of Operation Paperclip?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, very quickly, for those who don't know, the Americans brought a bunch of Nazis over and they literally inserted them into every industry at the time, aerospace, economics, you name it. And so
this is fact, by the way. You can seriously, there's all kinds of all kinds of stuff.
For those listening and watching, Paperclip is not a conspiracy. This is it's on Wikipedia at this point. So anyways, right, exactly. So what ended up happening was right before World War II ended and right before Operation Paperclip began, there were two different factions that Hitler had set off. And you'll see how this connects back to your question, that Hitler had set off. One of them was in Berlin. Another one was in Antarctica. And both of them, both of these groups were tasked with reverse engineering anti-gravity craft, because once you can understand or harness anti-gravity, literally everything you see in Star Trek is possible. Because anti-gravity is magnetic fields. So that is force fields. That's invisibility. That's literally everything that you've seen. So
isn't that related to kind of a 0.2, like the anti-gravity zero point energy?
Precisely. So what ended up happening was the group in Berlin near the end of the war was trying to pressure the group in Antarctica to give Hitler what was called the Wunderwaffe, which in English is the wonder. It means the wonder weapon, which was allegedly something called Die Glock. It was a Nazi bell. It was a UFO or their version of an alien craft in the shape of a bell. Why? It has to do with things like the Vril Society and whatever, but that's a separate thing. So anyways, this group in Antarctica told Hitler through the group in Berlin, we haven't made any progress. Why? Because they allegedly were more interested in interstellar travel instead of Hitler's pursuit of global domination. So they pretended like they didn't have jack shit, but they had all of it. Because in Antarctica, they had found what was called, what is called Agartha, Hollow Earth, right? We see that in, if you watch Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, I just watched it.
Beautiful.
Right, sounds silly, but again, going back to drop feeding, how they hint at it, phenomenal example of how they just put it right in front of our faces, right? And so—
Because it's entertainment, it's sci-fi.
Correct, correct. And this is the group that allegedly was then brought over. Some of them went into space, and others were recruited with Operation Paperclip. Some of them from Operation Paperclip became a part of what's known as the group Majestic 12. Now, you might think, okay, how is this still around? Because these guys are probably dead now. They are. There is an obligation and an oath that they have to take, which is that when it is time for them to retire their position, many years before, they must name a successor in order to keep this rogue element going. This rogue element is arguably, whether it's 12 guys or there's rumors that it's now up to 16 people, whatever. They arguably are the military industrial complex at the highest levels, basically. They control the media, the whole thing. Those would be the guys that would plant the fake stories for the CIA to give to the press, all that kind of stuff. Those are the guys that have the final
say. Are the top informants that end up giving out information to governments, which then create regulations and dictate certain things going to the public on their valid sources.
Wait, is that do you think those 12 to 16 people are the only ones who know the actual thing that's going on with the aliens, or
here's the thing. There's yes and no, and I say that because relative to humans, not anymore. Why do I say that? Because I feel like the Americans have gotten such a phenomenal grasp on this technology, weaponizing on all of it, and they I guess you could say they're so confident that they're sharing it with other world partners, world leaders. I think at this point, guys, honestly, I think it's an open secret amongst the highest levels of politicians that there is extraterrestrial life without a doubt. Now, how do I know this? Literally, those new telescopes, the digital ones that zoom really good, just point it at the moon and you will see ships moving, coming and going all the time. There's
no
swear,
way.
Swear to God, people have been sending me emails. Dave, this might
I mean, you pay a comma in the price tag to get one, absolutely, but like you catch shit.
So
all the time.
Speaking of that, Saturday, just a real quick rabbit trail. You want to tell that one? Because it's pretty crazy.
No, you saw it first,
Could I just say super quickly? Yeah. This is how successful the CIA was 40, 50 years ago in the propaganda of extraterrestrials. You can take a telescope, point it at the moon, see a base that looks like the Pentagon, literally see craft coming and going, and people still won't believe it. That's how successful the propaganda's been.
Wow.
So I think, yeah. All right. So I will say one thing before we tell our story. If there...
It's a quick story.
Imagine you and your a couple friends knew exactly what was going on, but the general population of the planet you were on were completely stupid, and you knew that there would be complete chaos and utter destruction if you told them the truth. So you manage it, and all right, maybe it wouldn't be you or me because they're doing it in a shitty way, but they're doing it to avoid mass chaos and ultimate destruction of our species. I'm not agreeing with it at all in any way, but I think us as humans and all of the research we're doing now, we're catching up to them. And it's probably really, really scary for them because they've been trying to prevent us from knowing it for so long. So they're like, oh, nope, this is dumb. Aliens are stupid. UFOs are only on movies. And now people are like, actually, I think that might not be true. So
they've been working at that for a while.
Well, you want to really go down a short rabbit hole, but an intense one to add to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that because so this is when it's going to get a little bit unbelievable for those that are new to the extraterrestrial topic, but there's no other way for me to put it. So there was a project back in the 70s and later in the 80s that Ronald Reagan sort of knew about, which is why I said earlier, he kind of had access into the shadow government, sort of.
I'm starting to get a feeling that Reagan was actually kind of like a really, 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 really dark piece of shit.
I'll give you, well, I can tell you who certainly was Bush Sr. He was allegedly on that. He was...
Wasn't he vice president to Reagan in
Before that, he was CIA director. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's the... Bush Sr. would be one of those guys that is close to the Majestic 12 people. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld.
I mean, yeah, head of the CIA.
Those families, yeah.
Basically, everyone who's still around from the Nixon administration and the Eisenhower administration would be that. But anyways, so basically, in the 70s and 80s, there was something called Project Mannequin. And it was, this is when it's going to get interesting. The NSA, a rogue group of the NSA from Antarctica and allegedly from Pine Gap, Australia, are using these energy weapons that they have either been given, reverse engineered, or both, to breed their own version of gray aliens in these underground bases, control them because they don't have souls, and abduct people for years and years and years. Now, this is when it gets a little bit iffy, because a lot of people say because there's so many different types of gray alien species that, you know, the I guess you could say that some are good, some are bad. But to go back to what you were saying, the elites, the ones at the very top, have realized, yeah, people are connecting things way quicker than we'd like, right? And honestly, they're to blame. They're the ones that gave us this tech, technically speaking, right? So what do they do to get ahead of the game? Constant abductions of a certain species of extraterrestrials. And this is Project Mannequin that we talk about on the show, where they abduct people to give and frighten the concept of gray alien equals bad. So I don't believe they will be able to contain the truth about extraterrestrials. So if they can't contain it simply because
they control the narrative, to make them control the narrative.
It doesn't take much to get Hitler's top propaganda guy said it. You can do it in any nation at any time. All you got to do is tell the people you're under attack from some type of threat, and there will be a chunk that goes with you. Now, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I do believe there are some extraterrestrials that are negatively intentioned, and there's some good. I don't, again, this is the big debate in the UFO community. Are they all good or are they all bad? I believe if they wanted to take us out, they would have done it by now. In terms of like a full-on incursion or invasion, they would have done it by now. But again, like you said, it's perception. It all depends, right? So the idea would be that the NSA and the CIA are using their own versions of their synthetically made aliens to spook people, to spook the people, to so people can come out and say, holy crap, I was abducted, it put this knife into me, it hurts, da da da, you know what I mean? So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So like, we're the worst ones, we're the worst we're the worst species in the universe.
Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, just kidding. Solid argument.
Sorry, okay.
No, I mean, solid argument for humans being one of the worst species in the universe. Oh, we hate ourselves even. We are so mean and to other humans.
Agreed.
And it doesn't make, like, good, bad aliens, blah, blah, blah. You have to think, like, these interstellar, like, cosmic beings, they've at least to themselves, they've probably got a very, like, benevolent perspective. Maybe like to like the same way we view like ants at a picnic, we don't think about the fact that we're stepping on them when we're going to set up our picnic at the hill. They might not realize that they're doing like what we view as bad things, but in their perspective of everything, they're probably not bad people, bad beings.
I think it would actually it would be slightly more of like a mathematical thing where it's not really a moral thing for them. It's more of like a, no, we don't need to go to that planet yet. No, we don't need the resources from that planet yet. No, we don't need to extinguish that planet yet. But if that number pops up, then that's what we're going to do, because that's the math that we were just given.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, that I find interesting is that it's almost like our perception of time is linear, right? So if there were to be some type of invasion or what have you, who is to say they are operating on a linear timeline if they were to invade? Now, allegedly, there are some... there are some species, for example, that allegedly when they find a new species or civilization in another planet, another galaxy, they literally set up an outpost on the closest star or wherever they deem to be the most strategic point. And they literally observe, in some cases, certain alien species, for good or for bad is hard to say. They will literally camouflage as human beings, and they will invade in a very different way. They will invade the hierarchical and cultural structure of that particular civilization, whether it's a human society like us or a tribe or something like this.
So basically aliens are the CCP. They're invading culturally and economically.
Honestly, this is so believable. I 100% agree with everything you're saying.
I almost said the Chinese, but I can't say that.
This is just like scientists of Earth. When we go in to study any sort of species, we figure out how they communicate, how they look, how they talk, how we can camouflage ourselves so that we can observe. And we observe them, and sometimes we'll take one of them and we'll observe that thing and then set it back with a tag or not, or we'll kill it. And it's no big deal to us because we're just studying it. And to that species, they're like, oh, what the hell just happened? So that's 100% probably. I can't imagine that's not happening with other species interstellar beings.
Right, exactly. And also, I want to make something clear too. On our show, on Generation Z, Camden and myself, we don't say what we're preaching is correct. The whole goal is for us to work together with the community to find the answer.
Yeah.
So even if you don't agree with what we're saying, that's totally cool. The goal is to broaden the perception more than, you know, actually say, okay, Dave is right about everything, because I bet you I'm not, right? With that being said, it's sort of like when I say that they would send an extraterrestrial in camouflaged, or maybe they'll literally contact another species they work with and see if there's a species that looks similar to that species they just found. And they will get, for example, they'll insert only a handful of people, a handful of the extraterrestrials. So it's not like the whole government's aliens or reptilians or whatever. They'll pluck one or two people and
key positions.
Right. They'll slowly work their way up and into the politics of that particular species, and they'll do it like that. Now, let's apply this to reality for a second. When I said that they establish a base and stuff, where would that be? The moon, the dark side of the moon. How do we know this? Project A119. This is all on record. You can look this up. The U.S. wanted to send a couple of nukes to the moon to blow it up as a show of force. There was now a declassified CIA document that says Project A119 could not be completed for two reasons. The Soviets had already destroyed their base on the moon. So keep that in mind. This is in the 60s and 70s. When did anyone ever have a base on the moon? Even now, technically, no one's had a base, like a full-on base.
That we know of, right?
Those two nukes that they sent them up anyways, because, you know, these guys just like to blow stuff up, I guess. The nukes did not even make it to the moon. These, I don't know what species, but there was a certain handful of craft that literally came. And we have some footage of not that incident, but a more recent one shot a bunch of beams, and these beams literally looked like white elastic bands. Shoot around the nuclear missile, disables it, and the missile just fell.
Totally disabled, yeah, and then goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best analogies, you started talking about like the animals that we study. Imagine us like watching a bunch of chimpanzees around a watering hole. One of them puts a bucket on their head and then like swims down really, really far and then like comes back up. To them, the chimpanzee scientists, that was the best attempt at scuba diving anyone's ever done.
Right.
and we create an air pocket and suction and go in. Us,
yeah.
The humans watching it are like, that was fucking hilarious. What are they doing? That was so stupid.
Yeah.
And so these extraterrestrial beings watching us, these apes, territorial, geopolitical, try to blow up something in space.
They're like,
aww. Like a vacuum will make it go forever. Why would they not? These stupid animals. What?
They're just like, nah, here I have our elastic bands. Yeah. Stupid. Like,
it's
I guess.
Literally, you know, like when your cat jumps up on the kitchen table to try to drink your water or something, and you very kindly go, no, here, you keep putting him down. And
we don't do that. We push it. Sorry. We have cats. Never...
The point is though, I imagine you don't push it to the point where it falls on its back. It lands on its feet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is what they're doing with us. Literally, we're the cat in this analogy, and they're the owner, basically. That would be the idea.
That's a good analogy. I like that because some people are crappy pet owners and some people are really nice. It's the same way we treat creatures outside.
Well, Jen usually likens it to a beehive or
sort of little creature. Like I save the bugs in our pool. Like I'm like, oh, this poor thing's struggling. I'm going to save it. Whereas a lot of people would be like, who cares? It's just a bug. It's not a big deal. But I'm like, what if they have a family? We don't know what they're thinking. It sounds like I'm a hippie, but I'm not. I'm just being realistic.
They all have their own intentions. There's different factions of them. Allegedly, this, again, a little bit of a fun fact. It's not confirmed or proven, so I say this carefully, but allegedly, one of the reasons why Hitler believed that the Aryan race, the blonde hair, blue eye race, was superior to the rest of the world in his, you know, very flawed kind of view, if you will, was because the Nazis were engaging with extraterrestrials since the mid to late 20s. So this is nothing new. It's not like the war started, then they found stuff. These extraterrestrials they allegedly engaged in, well, apparently they're not even extraterrestrial. They're from Earth, but they're deep, deep underground. However, they were from the surface many thousands of years ago. They were a breakaway set of human beings that went underground into what is now Antarctica, and they communicated with extraterrestrials. They bred with some of them. They share technology and things like this, because some of these UFO sightings are not from space. They're from underground, and it's not our military. It's deeper than that.
Yeah, so, I totally believe that. So I wanted to now wait, Ben. I want to tell our story because it's just really quick, but I want to get your take on.
Oh, Ben is gone. Hold on. He has to be there.
Okay, go ahead, Ben. Fuck.
No, I want you both to hear because it's really cool.
Okay, this will be quick. It's about his idea on movies and dropping information in right in front of our face. Is like the original Wonder Woman kind of has the idea of she comes about into the known world from a holographed island or a hologrammed island, whichever one, and she's, you know, not of normal human specimen, and then later on, you know, decades later, they see pictures of her in with the other people from World War One, and they're kind of looking at it like, holy shit, is that the same person? That it's those kind of things like that where, you know, you're talking about like our timetable is literal or linear. And the idea that maybe they aren't doing these constructs in the same time plane. They ended up coming out with a movie in 2011 called Nazis at the Center of the Earth. And I watched it a long time ago, and it's now with today's thing, it reminded me like, hey, if they were doing that shit, trying to get to the center of the earth, we're talking to people, you know, deep in burrows and things of that nature. Like if the hollow earth theory is something to be taken seriously, maybe there is Nazis in the center of the earth. And it just reminded me of what you were talking about, them dropping shit in movies. That's it.
All right, Camden's back. So now we got to tell our story from Saturday.
It's so random, though, because You guys are so along the same lines of how we think, and it's really a breath of fresh air to talk. Not that we don't. Everyone we talk to is super cool, but it's nice to talk to people who talk how – maybe it's just how I talk every single day to Joe, and he's like, okay, babe, that's cool. But it's really nice because I'm like, oh, you guys, like, think the same things. It's very cool. But go ahead. You can,
Can I just say to Ben, to what you had just brought up, your thought there, Ben, with regards to Antarctica – take a look at the Antarctic Treaty. It's just like Operation Paperclip in the sense that it's not a conspiracy. It's legitimate. Allegedly, the only treaty, Antarctic Treaty, the only treaty where the United States was able to get every country in the world to say, we're not going to go to Antarctica unless we tell the U.S. We're washing our hands. So
what's it called?
The Antarctic Treaty. What is that? Like a no one goes to Antarctica unless it's approved, like blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And it's all right. Every country in the world said yeah.
That's one of the weirdest ones to me that's on record, is that it's such a controlled zone. It's like, why? You're hiding something, obviously.
For sure. Well, there's something weird going on there. Absolutely.
So before you guys go on with your story very quickly, I mean, to be honest with you, for example, very recently the Russians were doing some what they called military drills and training in Antarctica. If you want our true perspective, or at least mine, there are certain beings out there that are, I guess you could say, like kaiju, sort of from the films, the Godzilla and things like that. And these beings are being suppressed using, like, they're nuking them and stuff like that. They are self-conscious, but they're not intelligent in the sense of, you know, the way that we are. And that's why, allegedly, there's so much of this ground ruptures, these volcanoes. To think that they don't control the planet, especially working with aliens to help control the planet, believe me, they do. Because to these aliens, the planet is the real value. Not, in my opinion, not necessarily us anymore. Because they've been here for God knows how many thousands of years, right? So
yeah, anyways, it makes sense.
We might just be a little project. What if we're like their little anthill that they have? They made us, and they're like, this is so cool. We have to keep this alive. We're like their Tamagotchi or whatever.
Well, when you say Tamagotchi, that's like when someone, you know, people say to me, Dave, if these creatures are so big, the Earth is only so big of a size. How could that be, right? Well, very quickly, it's like it would be something called a pocket dimension that they would be using, or it would be a natural manifestation. A pocket dimension is when for example, you have a van or a car. You see from the outside, it looks like a normal car, a normal sized car. You get in the car and it's the size of a Boeing 747.
Like TARDIS, Doctor Who.
That's considered pseudoscientific, but again, a lot of things 6 months ago were considered pseudoscientific until they discovered them just now.
Whenever they tell us, that's when they discover them.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, it's Asalaamu Alaikum. Everything's open.
Right. That's called a pocket dimension. So these creatures would be going. Earth is not necessarily, the concept is that it's not entirely hollow. It's concave, sort of like a golf ball with little ridges in it, you know? And those ridges are the pocket dimensions in some cases, where this is how these creatures can survive with such big size and not be noticed. They're sort of in a sub-dimension, if you want to call it.
That's so cool. Don't you want to be friends with them so bad? I want to do that shit. I want to walk around and do that and be like, oh, okay, this is awesome. I'd be super nice. I'd help people. Please, let me go with you.
All right, tell a story. It takes like 5 seconds to tell our story.
Sorry, I'll be right back.
Whatever. We saw a cloaked craft the other day. So
that's all we could describe.
We've never seen anything in the sky ever. We talk about UFOs. We talk about crazy shit all the time. But I just got my amateur radio license because I'm a super nerd, and I was looking for satellites that I could bounce radio signals. Oh, thank you. That I could bounce signals off of. So I was tracking them all on this very nerdy app that I have, and I was trying to get the right frequency and trying to figure it out. And while we were doing that, we just kind of gave up because it was 4th of July. We were also super drunk. So I was like, all right, well, I was pretty sober at this point, to be honest. Joe had just pounded drinks because he was driving. So he didn't drink during the day. We got home.
Yeah, what she means, I pounded drinks after I got done driving. He didn't. Okay, I was catching up.
No, sorry, that came out wrong. But no, he didn't drink.
To be fair, there were white claws. I wasn't that drunk.
And I did. And then he drove us home sober. And then I proceeded to drink water. He drank alcohol. And so it was midnight. And I'm like, okay, dude, this is usually when we're already in bed, but fuck it, it's 4th of July, let's go swimming. So we got in our pool and we're like, all right, cool, we're going to go look in the pool, or sit in the pool and look at satellites. And as we looked up, we saw a triangle, craft. I don't even know what to call it.
It was clear.
I sound like a crazy person from Louisiana. Like, I saw a triangle in the sky, but it was a triangle craft surrounded by like a green light, and the inside was, it was cloaking. Like, you could tell that you weren't supposed to see it.
Yeah, Ron just called it in the chat. He said, "Did it look like Predator?" The cloaking
blur.
That's exactly what I told Joe.
I said it looks just like Predator, and then he was able to describe it better. Because I'm like, have you ever seen Predator? It looked like that. It was kind of changing shape and moving and like iridescent. But it was moving across the sky super fast, also super silent. And then after it got kind of out of our view, it looked like a group of satellites moving together in unison very quickly. So it had points on it at some place, and it was moving super fast out of our view. And I was like, maybe it's Starlink. Like, I immediately tried to rationalize it into something very normal because we had children sleeping inside too. So I'm like, we can't be like, oh, cool, come back.
Well, it's funny because we get out of the pool, we go sit down and smoke a cigarette, and we're like, so what do? Is there somebody we call? Do we do anything about
it? I was like, we can report it to MUFON, but the membership is, there's a cost for a membership to report it to MUFON. Because we wanted to really bad, because it was insane to see it.
But it looked like to me, we came to kind of an agreement that it was probably some kind of military shit. Just based on the way it was flying. It was flying like a fucking airplane, except it was fucking clear.
Well, it was flying, so unless it was a pyramid, it was flying with its front or back facing us, because it was a triangle completely.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
it was
a
weird
circle, or it wasn't flat. It was a triangle, and you could see the points on all sides, and it was just, it looked like it was clawing its way across the sky. I guess it sounds stupid, but
you want to take this
well one? Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but I think that's a TR-3B Telos, right? Did we not do an episode pretty recently that the TR-3B class of ship is those triangle ships that you're talking about? The Telos is one that specifically has, as far as we know, cloaking technology.
Oh, okay. Because the old TR-3B model that I've seen, it was not that.
And it didn't have three bright lights on it. Like, we looked up TR-3B too. It did not have that at all. It looked like you could see the light reflecting. So this, we were facing west, and the sun had not just set, but you can see pretty far where we live. So the sun was still, the sky wasn't completely dark or anything. So it looked like light was reflecting off of whatever it was. And we could only see it because of our position where we were.
Right.
I think it would have been completely invisible if you were in the right place.
I fundamentally agree with you. I believe so it's interesting. The triangle is now the most commonly seen one. I do agree with you guys. I do believe it is military. A lot of the craft we see now tends to be military, but there are alien craft too. Now, it's interesting you bring this up, because there's been different models of the TR-3B. There's the TR-3G, there's the TR-3. There's so many different ones, but there's different propulsion systems. That's another thing as well too. It's not like they reverse engineered the alien craft and there's one thing. There's multiple different forms of propulsion systems. Some of these triangular craft, including disc-shaped craft, actually have human technology integrated with the alien technology, just because there's certain things that, you know, I guess even at a militaristic level, if you're a human, you prefer a human control over an alien one, right? Or something
for
like
sure.
This.
Yeah. It's comfort level. Yeah.
Right. And the I'd like to subscribe to the idea that if it was truly an extraterrestrial manning that craft, the technology is so advanced, we would not be able to see it unless it was intercepted by another alien-based technology. It doesn't mean that that alien-based tech had to be alien-controlled, but generally speaking, for example, there have been, again, this goes a little out there, but there have been planes that have literally, I guess you could say, shape-shifted or have decloaked their hologram, depending on how you perceive the footage, into a UFO ship, a circular, traditional craft, right? There's tube cigar-shaped craft, which are made to hold much larger amounts of people that are constantly coming and going. It literally looks like a tube, a cigar or a tubular shape.
They just talked about those on the release of the classified info, the pill-shaped objects.
Right, the tic-tac.
Tic-tacs,
the cigar-shaped craft. Now, the cigar-shaped craft specifically is interesting because there was a transcript, again, between former CIA director William Casey and Ronald
and Reagan.
And guess what happened at the time? They were discussing, an alleged leaked transcript. Reagan had said to CIA Director William Casey, "Wow, I can't believe we have over 300 people in space right now."
Whoa.
Wow. Just a weird thing to say objectively, yeah.
When did we ever have 300 people in space?
Yeah, no shit.
Not forget the West. I'm just saying as a species, at least that we know of, right?
So, did the military shut them down like it was something that Biden would say? They're like, "We don't have 300 people. That guy's stupid."
This is like a private conversation transcript.
Well, I don't
know. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the president, unless there's off the record or super classified meetings, aside from those, whenever the president's eating, whenever the president's in the Oval Office, everything he or she says is recorded. Literally everything. So this was something that I personally believe Reagan let slip, because he was having dinner in the White House with CIA Director Casey. So I believe he let it slip. I don't think it was something he was supposed to say at that time in the White House.
This is why they don't tell presidents stuff, though, because their position is temporary. Yeah. So, they're going to give them a little tidbit because they're like, well, depending on what will imminently happen, you might need to know this because the people look up to you and we control shit. So, they give him the little bits and they can't give him too much because he's gone soon. Unless they assassinate him, then I guess it's permanent. But
I just want to say super quickly, if you notice, a lot of the high-level politicians, whether CIA directors, ambassadors to the United Nations, all this, presidents, notice a very similar reoccurring pattern. The ones that have been alleged to be part of these, or at least connected to these rogue shadow governments, 95% of them have developed Alzheimer's before they retired. Think about that.
Probably because they were shocked and zapped a million times to have, like, Men in Black. They were like, okay, we're going to tell you this, only remember some.
The blinky thing.
Yeah, the blinky thing.
And I got to be honest. It's when you go through the data, you go through the evidence, there's only a few routes that you can logically take in terms of, okay, it's either this is all nonsense, or all these people that are seeing things are really just seeing holograms, or this is something
we've seen in the movie.
Sorry?
Oh, I said, yeah, that's what it's come down to.
Yeah.
It's come down to either all of it's horse shit and we're fucking stupid, and it's
like a
big
giant
psyop
that we can't how.
Yeah, this is all sim theory, and they're just having fun with us, which, by the way, is a possibility.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like, it's either that or they're just fucking lying to us and there's so much more shit out there.
It's definitely that too.
Stuff that we've been hearing is real.
Well, yeah, we know just on a government level that governments lie to us between coups that they do all over the world, terrorist things connected to, like, we know they lie. So it's easy to say they lie about these things. It's kind of easier to lean toward their lying about this as well.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the bigger the project.
Look, for
yeah.
example, at former astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Again, going back to what you guys asked me about, is there evidence? He wrote an email to John Podesta, shown by WikiLeaks shortly before he died. And he said, our friendly EBEs will not tolerate any type of militarization in space. They want to share zero point energy tech with us. But again, if we militarize space, it's not happening. So here's the thing. When you guys ask about evidence and things like that, there is leaked audio that NASA's tried to scrub, but it's on the dark web of astronauts in space, their voices and everything saying, you know, "Houston, we're pursuing the craft, the alien craft," literally word for word, "Houston, I'm being followed," things like that. And then it's interesting because certain astronauts seem to know things, like know more than others do, which is peculiar. But Camden, please.
Oh, no, I mean, Buzz Aldrin's a great example of that. I mean, does he have dementia or is he just like actually telling the truth finally? Alan Shepard's Mercury 6 transcript where he's like, he was the first man in space. And he's up there and he's like, "Hey, Houston, there's like all these orbs around me, and like I don't what's yep. going on, and like and then they don't talk to him for 5 whole minutes.
Guys, NASA left their guy stranded on the moon for 10 minutes. Like,
well, just in space, not on the moon, just in space, like floating around in space, surrounded by things he could not perceive to be anything. Yep. And they just didn't talk to him for 5 minutes. And they came back and said, "Are you doing okay?"
Yeah, literally.
Wow. Literally. Typical manager.
So as another creature, if those orbs have some sort of sentience and they know what's going on, they were like, wow, that species sucks. Like, they didn't even help their person. So, I mean, why would they share our technology? If we found a I feel like the evidence, honestly, I am sometimes an evidence-based person, but the evidence for life outside of us is literally right in front of us. Like, it's right there. It's on our Earth right now.
Well, the National Australian Archives recently had a whole slew of 58 pages declassified.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Particularly pertaining to UFOs. You got to see the stuff in there, guys, that they say.
Now,
they,
other governments are following suit then with this.
Yes. Yes. This is not, this is, and by the way,
and other governments are doing a lot better than that bullshit the US just put out.
of course they are.
There's Russian generals that have gone on television that have said extraterrestrials are here and they cooperate with us. Word for word. I mean, okay, it's in Russian, but big whoop, you know, like that's the other thing too. The National Australian Archives, basically, they essentially confirm it's not a CIA, it's not an intelligence cable or Australian intelligence cable speculating. They're not doing surveillance. They're not doing reconnaissance. It's not an op. This is, no, the CIA told us that the official narrative in America is UFOs are nonsense. But as a matter of fact, they're working with them. You can find this word for word on the National Australia, NAA.gov.au. It doesn't get any more government than that. So
it doesn't. I did have a question for you, though, to follow up with this, since we were talking about astronauts on the moon. So since we're all about conspiracies here, given this, the idea that we have been not only to space and doing this kind of stuff for a long time, there's a lot of speculation that the moon landing, per the date that it supposedly happened in the US, is not real. And for a long time, I have been one of those people that I'm like, I don't think for a second that we made it to the moon when they said we made it to the moon. So my question is that with that, do you think then that it's actually one of those breadcrumb drops that was just a big op to be like, hey guys, we're moving to space, when really we had already been done doing that for a long time? So is that kind of the take?
Very quickly, I feel like Camden wants to jump in, but I just, give me 20, 30 seconds. Let me just say, I feel as though man has been not just to the moon, but in space hundreds of, if not thousands of years before the Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin. Now, if we take it to modern history, I believe that, honestly, I believe as of now, the Nazis were more than likely the first to go to the moon. And in modern history, the Apollo 11 was... here's the thing. I myself personally don't know where I stand on it. I do believe certain elements of it were faked. Yes. Do I think the whole thing was? I don't like to think so. But I'll be honest. I don't want to comment on something I have not done super extensive research into. But anyways, Camden knows better than I do.
I'll answer for you.
perfect. Well, you know, I was going to say, because you know us Americans, we got to be first in everything. Yeah. And if we aren't, we're like, meh.
2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick, 1968, was his practice film for the moon landing in 1969. There's loads of corollary pictures of him walking with NASA directors all throughout that
Times
next following year.
And all of that
There's
stuff,
absolutely. Second question, why is all of the astronauts a part of the Screen Actors Guild? Why were they using
stage production cameras that they tried to hide? Why were the lighting effects so bananas opposite what they supposedly were showing? All of that, those were all done in the late 90s. They had an entire, I think it was 2020 or Dateline on it, that they originally brought all this up, and that actually seeded the ground for me as a young person to kind of go, I don't necessarily believe that's right. Now, there could have also been controlled opposition. So obviously, with all of these different facets, angles, and elements that can be purported in any one conspiracy train of thought belief system, my idea is, with you guys, where do you think that lands with what we're talking about in extraterrestrialism?
To me, we were in space on the moon. before 1969. Okay. But to that point, the same way that now kind of you see all these governments starting to put UFO things out, try to like normalize the idea, so to speak.
Tell us we're stupid for right. not believing in it before now.
In, okay. in
yeah,
yeah. the 60s, especially because JFK said we will be at the moon by the end of the decade, they kind of had a promise to keep. They literally had to begin to normalize doing things at least publicly right. in space so that they could be seen going to space, at least in
that,
my opinion.
Do you think that Trump's push on Space Force is another push to normalize that with now the wave of declassified information?
If I could say very quickly, I feel like regardless of who would have been president in the last 4 years,
that would have happened.
Regardless, I feel there... There's certain elements that the military-industrial complex that the people we spoke of half an hour ago say, you know, down the chain, like, you don't have a choice. This is the way certain institutions will go in terms of introduction of new agencies for an overarching agenda. Werner von Braun had told a journalist on his deathbed, essentially, a now journalist, that essentially there was going to be multiple phases to the overarching plan of the way in which there's going to be the elites controlling the planet. And the first one was going to be after post-World War II. He told her he had 3 weeks left to live. He had a very quick onset of cancer, which was also mysterious too, by the way, because he knew everything from A to Z. But he told her there's going to be the threat of communism, right? Which Reagan JFK went into the meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and came out of that meeting and told his wife and his secretary, we call ourselves the human race. And he said that because the Joint Chiefs of Staff did not want to end the Cold War. I wonder why. So there's Werner von Braun said communism, and then it's going to be terrorism, right? 9/11, that whole thing. And then it's going to be the threat from third world crazy countries, North Korea. You notice how that's in the limelight. And then he said there's going to be the final card, which will be the space card that they're going to play, which will be the attempt to justify the militarization of space. Now, look, I don't know at this point what I don't think there is one set group of extraterrestrials. I don't think there's one group of humans that have full control. I think of it very similar to that of a very complex set of organized crime families. Think of like the five families back in the day in
right,
New York.
Right.
The overall goal for all these factions is the same, but there's a different subtle agendas in between them. There's drama, there's beef, there's problems. I view it in that way. I don't see it as, 10 guys are sitting at a table in a dark room and they got everything by the balls. You know, I don't see it like that.
I was going to say this, and I'll use this as a prop. Is the idea like, do you think that it's more of like they have an agenda and then they go, hey, are we ready to drop the space?
Yes.
No, yeah. Not yet. We're going to do that in 2016. Oh, it doesn't matter who's president.
Ben, you froze.
Oh, Ben. Darn.
Hold on a second.
So, wait 1 second. So I'm having a weird problem, of course, because, it's our stream, but there's a... something going on where there's some shit frozen or something, and your audio got crackly as fuck. Everybody's did.
Well, yeah, it just popped up that my internet connection has been stable. All of you guys froze there for a second, and now it's starting to level back out.
But I don't have any notifications on my end that it's fucky, except for the notifications aren't even pulling up now.
I whispered to Joe that we were getting too close to the truth, and I feel like that's why that's happening. I was
Every time.
Getting too close to the truth. So they're fucking with our... They can do that, though.
Hang on 1 sec. So let me... Yeah, because it stopped recording. All right, anyway, let's continue back.
Everyone unfrozen, though, on everyone's end? Everyone's unfrozen. Yes. Everyone, wave your hands.
Let's see what the lag is like.
That was... Hey, guys.
Ben, wave your hands.
Okay, that was the test. That was their going, hey, we tried to cut them off, and if they go back,
they're done.
Not the assholes, though. Oh, maybe that was the bad people trying to cut us off. Sometimes I feel like the alien technology code or the Majestic
That's
12
the
could.
Okay, so we are live. Okay, cool. We're still live. I just saw my hands waving. Awesome. Sorry about that, everyone. We're recording again. I don't know how much of that we got, but fuck.
Well, and then you can find articles, by the way, from the 1930s and 40s where they start talking about in newspaper articles, New York Times, things like that. Even in the late 1800s, there was an article which is still on the New York Times archive where in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, they found human remains of a skeleton, but it was three to four times larger than modern humankind right now.
They've been doing that for a while. They've actually found what they assume were either Aztec or Native American burial mounds in Arizona and New Mexico with, ones that were up to 12 to 15 feet, fully intact. It was the entire skeletal structure because that was where they were buried. And they sent it to the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian rejected it and said it didn't support scientific backing to our history. I was going to say this really quick, and I thought Joe and Jen would find this kind of funny. So I just got done playing the Cold War thing that they just did. So here's the thing. They tied Reagan into all of it, and they even by name mentioned MKUltra and all of the mind shit that they do to sleeper cells and all of that stuff. And it was funny because I was baked as hell last night playing it. And all of this information popped up and I was like, dude, it's in video games now.
Well, I like to say Hollywood doesn't lie to us. Like they never have, right? All of the things in video games,
that's an interesting
TV,
take.
Well, entertainment, guys, they really don't lie.
Right. So to add to what actually everyone's saying here, it's interesting how the Smithsonian, certain Rockefeller, Rothschild institutions, which are all, again, funded by the same top families, either rejects it or ignores it or what have you. Now, there was something, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Operation High Jump. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar.
Yeah, that's the Admiral Byrd stuff.
Familiar.
Admiral Byrd, Operation
High Jump. We did talk about that one time, I think.
Yeah, he was, again, so. This is how you, at the time at least, post-World War II, just after, you had to justify to the American people where the tax dollars were going, right? So Warner Brothers, not anymore. Warner Brothers at the time was around film studio. They made a whole film with Admiral Byrd, one of the most highly respected admirals from the Second World War, who said it is imperative we go to Antarctica to explore things like this. Okay, they get there. Don't hear nothing, jack shit, nothing. Only thing we know is that in his journal, he describes finding an underground civilization that has extremely advanced technology, some of them alien, some of them human, but from a breakaway human civilization that went underground a long time ago, asking Admiral Byrd to keep things quiet to the public because the public isn't ready, like the masses are.
They'll panic, it's for
their
good.
I think at the time that may have been somewhat possible, to be honest. Nowadays, I don't believe that for a second. No, in hell. But they told him to keep it quiet. He wrote this in his journal. Everything just goes quiet. So you're telling me one of the most highly respected people from the Second World, soldiers from the Second World War, excuse me, Admiral, who was then tasked with going to Antarctica, highly sober, respected, competent, analytical. He says there's an underground civilization. Oh, no, we're not going to say nothing. Too bad.
Yeah. Oh, that's a flight of fancy.
Yeah. So the same.
He's not one for imagination. He's the fucking admiral.
Right.
Esteemed sailor in the Navy. Like, he's not making that shit
up. Look at a gentleman by the name of Hermann Oberth. He was a Nazi scientist brought over from Operation Paperclip. And he was the mentor to Wernher von Braun. He was Wernher von Braun's mentor. Don't quote me directly, but he said something along the lines of, we cannot attribute all of our advancements in rocketry and propulsion to ourselves. We have been helped by the people of other worlds. And I believe I almost got that word for word, I think. And the point I'm trying to make is
pretty close. Yeah.
So we can trust this guy who was, again, Nazi scientist. Okay. Let's put that aside. We can trust this guy to take us to the moon, but near the end of his life, in his later years, he wants to, start speaking and things like that. And all of a sudden, so the guy that we entrusted to bring humankind to the moon, allegedly for the first time, says that we've been helped by people of other worlds, and all of a sudden he doesn't mean shit. So, it kind
seems
of
to be where it goes.
It seems to be a secret that you'd take to the grave, though. I mean, honestly, if your reputation's on the line and you care so much, why not at the end be like, this is how it is? I feel like most normal people would do that.
Well, I think that there are people that are higher strung on integrity and saying that, you know what, fuck my career. This is the truth.
When was this guy born, though? Think of that. Think of the mentality of the general population when that guy was born. Right now, yeah. Millennials would be like, I would be like, yeah, guess what, everybody, right now. But if I wasn't with the 50s mentality of that, right. I mean.
Well, this is another thing, too, right? We look, for example, at this is he's not the only one. As of recently, former Israel Space Defense Minister Ben Rich, who died in the, I believe, 1999 or 2000. He was the former president of Lockheed Martin's Skunk Work Division. Lockheed Martin is a military contractor. Their Skunk Work Division, they say it on their website, 90 to 95% of what they do is classified. And I'll be honest, at least they don't bullshit us with that, right?
Ben Rich, absolutely is.
Right. Ben Rich, 3 weeks before he passed away, told a friend of his, and this is also a note as well that actually I sent it over to Camden a few hours ago.
Yeah, no, I was reading it earlier. Yeah, absolutely.
He said to his friend, he said, we have things in the desert that are 50 years ahead of what you cannot imagine. So not 50 years ahead of what of at the time of 2000, 2001, 50 years ahead of what you cannot imagine. And then he said, he goes, everything you've seen in Star Trek and Star Wars, he goes, that's child's play with what we have. He goes, but he said, he goes, it would take an act of God for the public to have this technology. Now, honestly, I'll be honest. I can see why they don't want to go public.
Absolutely.
They have issues chasing terrorists with nukes, let alone if a terrorist gets a hold of an anti-gravity device, because with anti-gravity, the difference between reality of anti-gravity force fields and Star Trek or Star Wars is when you know how in Star Trek or Star Wars, they shoot at the shields, the force fields and the shields.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In reality, the shields get stronger because it's basically
they're absorbing energy, right?
I remember hearing about that on another podcast.
If you're a terrorist and you can get a hold of an anti-gravity weapon, you are arguably unstoppable.
Yeah, because it charges it.
Yeah, you can put a force field around you for your whole life, and it literally uses what's called like the ether, the energy that's all around us, the free energy. I could put this shield around me, walk to the bank down the road, rob the bank, come back home, go to sleep. Doesn't matter, because who's going to be able to touch me, literally?
Every time they shoot at you, you just charge up a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
They shot at me and the force field got stronger. I'm going to go watch a movie now, you know?
That's awesome.
I would say this, though, too, is I know that this is kind of a weird, like, sublet tangent on that idea of going public with things. When were they able to, if they had the chance, this, that, and the other? Dr. Jordan Peterson was talking about how he believes the Earth can sustain, and we're 1.2 away from this, about 9 billion people before it starts to get overpopulated. Well, we're at 7.8 right now, and at the turn of the 20th century, we were at 1.
Right.
So in 100 years, we have gone 8 times the amount of people on this Earth, and soon to be 9, more than likely within the next 5 years. My thing with that is it's absolutely terrifying when you think about the growth in shitty people being made on this earth every day, and as well as good people. But you get that many, and you're also trying to still try to have localized government and things of that nature. How exactly do you propose this to the public without having every kind of purge situation possible to get their hands on it, to be that exact kind of unstoppable person that you were just describing?
This is why, very, very sadly and with deep regret, I agree with those guys that are holding shit back. Partly. That's why.
Partly.
To the smallest degree.
Right.
Because of that. I don't have an answer, brother. That's the thing. I bring this up.
We just talked about how humans are assholes. We just talked about how humans are probably the shittiest species of the make.
But because how would you weed through them all? So honestly, if you wanted to save them, I don't mean to cut in, but like, Jesus, how would you come in and be like, okay, that one's good, that one's bad, that one's good, that one's bad? You would treat them like bugs and be like, well, some of them are going to die, but hopefully the good and strongest survive, and you'd have maybe the best intentions.
Well, I think about it this way.
There's going to be casualties.
If we all got united against some kind of extraterrestrial invasion, and they already in 50, 60 years ago ETs were saying, we could help the humans, but as soon as they try to weaponize space, that's a no-go. So yeah, we'd like to help them with this technology, but we already know, because they're a shitty species, that they're going to try to weaponize it, and we're not going to let that happen.
Right.
Yeah, well, now think 56 years later, when we're 2-3 times from the 50s and 40s, 2-3 times the population, what's the one thing that in, if history has shown us anything, that we do as soon as there is a global problem? Everybody, just like on a national level, typically will band together to actually eradicate it and be done with it. Well, right. If that happened with an alien invasion and we had alien technology to combat it, this is like Battle for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, way more advanced.
I just want to say very quickly, one of the more secretive things that allegedly even the guys at the very top are hesitant to speak about is the secret space program, right? The many breakaway civilizations of human beings that are being put through what's called a 20 and back time program, where they spend 20 years in the service of the secret space program on distant planets, working for the ICC, stands for the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerates. And
is that real?
Allegedly. I mean, the evidence
reportedly, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I will say the evidence is there. I don't want to say for certain. With that being said, there's been a lot of leaks regarding the secret space program, because it's a cycle. But you'll see, I'll come full circle in the sense that the CIA uses drug money to fund the secret space program, because they could only take so much from the Pentagon. There's $22 trillion missing from the Pentagon, and every single auditor who's tried to get in there has said, we can't find shit. They won't
in
let us.
30 years, it's the only government agency that's never completed an audit.
Republican senators who have been there for 40, 50 years, the ones that, you know, when you're there for that long, you hear things, right? Right. So those guys that have been there for 40, 50 years, Senator Harry Reid, recently retired, said he goes, the corruption of what they're doing with that money with like space programs, he goes, runs deep, meaning like, let's like, this is dangerous. You get killed for this. Now, it's interesting you bring this up, because in allegedly there is the there is something called the Solar Warden secret space program. That is the modern version, the American version. There is another version called the Nachtwaffen, which is German for the dark
fleet. Yeah.
This is that same fleet, or that same group of people.
Same thing.
Same group of people, whether it's their kids or still them, that was Hitler's group in Antarctica back in the 40s, working on the Wunderwaffe that they said they didn't have, but they really had, because they wanted to go into space instead. So humans are allegedly overseen by a group called the Galactic Federation, which is what the Israeli former space minister said, and many others as well, too. But this Galactic Federation has many different species. It's like Star Trek, literally, like different species working together. And our personal overseers, if you want to call it, like the ones responsible for making sure we don't fuck shit up too much, are the Venusians. Literally, they were from Venus, but they destroyed their planet so badly so long ago. Very, I guess you could, I don't know, some would say similar to what we're doing, but way worse.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say that, yeah.
They now have motherships that go in Venus's orbit and stay there, and that is literally where they live. Allegedly, Nikola Tesla, according to FBI documents, was a Venusian who was dropped off by his parents from Venus. Now, first off, what do these Venusians look like? Literally like us, some differences. There's some royalty, as they call them, or as we perceive them, that look a little different, but you got to look close enough to notice. And there's certain things like that. Now, the Galactic Federation allegedly is either in par, in correspondence, or reports to something called the Ashtar Command, the Ashtar High Command. And that's more of a, those are aliens on another different dimension. But anyways, that's the gist of it.
Holy shit. How do you know all this stuff?
We do a lot of reading.
A lot of reading, yeah.
We're just so insignificant as a species. I mean, I know we're special ourselves.
I'm special, for sure.
I know. Okay, you're so special, babe. You're super
special. I'm special,
special.
Ed.
Short bus, yep.
So, I don't know. I just feel like we're not that special, though. We're kind of just whatever. I take everything and I micro it down
so
to like
we're special
not that special.
To each
we
other.
Can make ourselves stand out, and we can try to be the best people we can be. But at the end of the day, I don't know if we have a say in that.
Well,
we are not the ones
too.
In charge.
Well, The overall idea is that the Galactic Federation in general, at least to our understanding, is in fact good. Like in terms of the intention, it's more about the travel discovery piece. But if there are mass numbers of human beings dying on this planet, they will not get involved because that is not their, they do not believe that is their deliberation, their delegation, their responsibility. And until they feel human leaders are ready to disclose their existence, they will not get involved on a mass level. Now, allegedly they have before, there's tons of incidences, right, that have been covered up and stuff, but you know.
Yeah.
Apparently these aliens, some species, not all, but some have told military personnel, what have you, that they've admitted, they go, even though we're thousands of years ahead of you, if not, you know, tens of thousands, we don't know everything. We're not God. We're not all perfect. And that's what I find to be honest with you, the most intelligent statement an alien can make, because they're humbling themselves, right?
That shows consciousness.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe they're trying to upgrade their technology so they can get through to the people. Not, I don't want to say who matter, but they can get through to everybody and try to make everything better, but they don't have it yet. So they're just like, dude, this isn't our jam right now. We can't do it. We're trying, but we're not there yet. So we might just have to wait.
I
just want to say very quickly, we take a look at, you know, the Iraq war, for example, there's a lot of speculation. And I will admit, though, some evidence, but not a lot, speculation that the real reason for the Iraq war, well, it was sort of like a win-win-win, reshape the Middle East to America's liking. On top of that, it was also go for the oil, right, for the contractors and the big oil companies. But on top of that, apparently it was because there was a Stargate in Iraq. And the Venusians did not want humans to get a hold of it. They felt that it was too, I guess you could say, too delicate for us to handle, right?
Would you, though, sort of, if you were another species, would you be like, they've got this right in Iraq, that's fine?
I'll be honest with you. That's a very valid point, because the question becomes this: have they interfered in a way where they've, again, we try to launch nukes to the moon and they disable them and things like that? Has it come to the point where literally they have decided that, again, their species, their leaders can do what they want, or are they eventually going to step in? That's the question. This is the problem. And this is why I say, I think there are multiple human factions and alien factions with different interests. I believe some of them, literally, as there is evidence to support, some of them come to literally use Earth as like a gas station in the sense of they're just stopping by to go to another galaxy. They want to come by. I'm not kidding. There is a CIA document on this about how, allegedly, this is a speculative document, but there are some eyewitnesses to back it up. Certain aliens that look like humans, and even the ones that don't, they like to camouflage themselves as humans, and they like to go to Vegas because a lot of their main stopping points are New Mexico, the desert. They like to go to the casinos because they like to look at humans amusing themselves. Sort of
word
like
of mouth has traveled fast.
Hell yeah. We're going there in 2 weeks. I'm just going to look for aliens camouflaging themselves. That's all I'm going to do now. Thank you. Thank you.
Kind of a thought about that, talking about kind of like the benevolence of ETs trying to help the humans and why they haven't yet. Do you think that a more likely case is that they are ready to help us and it's actually our government playing both sides to the public and also lying to them, like, oh yeah, we're not ready, our public isn't ready yet, we're not ready to let that out yet, but when we are, we'll let you guys come in? And then it's like to us, like, oh yeah, they're not real.
Well, these beings are telepathic, highly advanced. I mean,
that wouldn't work.
I'll be honest. I think that this has been said to these aliens. There's been tons of scenarios where, you know, these aliens are in some, they get into standoffs with human military personnel. These aliens, some are very weak physically. Hence their need to constantly grow technologically because they have no physical strength to defend themselves. Nor do I think that they're so advanced. I don't think fighting is even a thing for them in terms of physical fighting, but there's other ones that are stronger, but they do in fact they can, I guess, at least their physical bodies can die. Now, there's different types of aliens. There's the walk-ins, which are these beings from other dimensions that we allegedly see when we're on psychedelics that use human bodies or use physical manifestation, Homo sapien bodies from the deep underground military bases to insert themselves into those bodies. They descend themselves, but they only do so when they feel necessary to achieve a particular task in this dimension, because to bring yourself down is, it just doesn't make sense. It's all about ascending, not descending, right?
Right.
So again, this is, it's a lot, man. There's a lot.
So as we can close out here soon, since I had problems, I'm going to have to stitch some shit together. It's fine. But I did want to ask you, have you seen People of Earth, the show on Hulu? And
that remind me of the Iguanoids or whatever it was.
Yeah. Have you seen that show at all, or are we barking up the wrong tree?
I haven't, but Camden, you want to take that one?
No, I mean, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've not finished it. I've been
crazy busy
with this, with editing and stuff, but no, I get what you're hitting at. Like I said earlier, it doesn't feel to me like Hollywood lies to us.
I know. I was telling her,
that
I was like,
it's very real.
It's a goofy ass show and it's funny. It's entertaining. But I was like, a lot of the things they say in there are probably actually true just from the stories we've heard. I'm like,
I can
the
picture
reptilians,
every single
like,
thing happening in real life. Like they walk in the back and they're just like, God damn, like we have to kill this kid. I'm like, what the hell? Like, why'd you let him open the door? And they're just like us. It's so funny.
There's been incidences. There's been people who thought they were abducted, where they realized they were able to prove that, you know, 2-3 hours of their life was, they don't know what happened to them. And they go to hypnotists, they get basic hypnotic regressions, and they suddenly have these memories coming back. They're abducted, taken into a base, which looks like a Vegas, New Mexico desert area. In this base, they go underground. There's a what they call a guide that is speaking to them telepathically that looks human, but is not exactly human, reassuring them, look, we're just going to experiment on you peacefully and then you'll be gone. You shouldn't remember this stuff. Literally where they go down, they say it looks like a regular office, except you got gray aliens walking by, blue feather bird-like aliens walking by, humans, literally a scene out of Men in Black. These are what people who have been abducted, who have received incisions when they were abducted and went to doctors later and asked what those incisions were. And the doctor said they could not explain. And those incisions were so precise that surgeons, some of the world's top surgeons, have said even they could not make such a precise incision. And then they go to the hypnotist and they slowly regain their memories. But then it's interesting because when they regain their memories, in some cases, they remember drinking something, a liquid of some sort that made them feel really good. This is very similar to what Bob Lazar had brought up, except I don't think he said that the liquid he drank was made him feel good. But
right.
Both these liquids seem to have something very peculiar, which was, and again, by the way, this is low tech stuff to what they really have in our opinion, but certain thoughts as to what you would try to remember if you get hypnotic regression from your abduction, or you start getting massive migraines instantly the second you try to think of them, which deters you from thinking about it, which therefore deters you from speaking about it.
Is that something implanted too?
Very quickly, there's a very, very loose version that is known out there that is given to DIA, DNI, Director of National Intelligence, CIA directors when they retire. This is, it's admitted, but obviously it's not like, it's not, what's the word, preached to the masses, right? But again, if that's possible, and these are people who we think are not involved with aliens, what about the ones that are dealing with aliens? If you guys have seen Bob Lazar and Joe Rogan, you remember there were certain parts where he's like, fuck, I'm getting a headache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, could have been that.
That's right along. I assume that you are at least familiar with Preston Dennett. Yep. Yeah, so like when he came on a show, he told us obviously a bunch of those wild stories about a lot of the out-of-body experiences, the idea of going back in time 40 years to see the exact same house currently as it was happening, but it was still 40 years ago where they're living in. And things of like the incisions, the medical procedures, a lady that hit a tree, she got abducted, and when the paramedics showed up, she was outside of the car completely fine. But to her, later on, you know, she had said that she must have been gone for about 5 hours, it seemed like.
Well, even aliens where, for example, there was a gentleman by the name of Boyd Bushman. Again, he was on YouTube, former Lockheed Martin engineer, worked at Area 51, had pictures of aliens that he showed on his deathbed and all that. Apparently, he got along well with the aliens and things like that. And again, just like with anything, you take it with a grain of salt. Very shortly after, Walmart starts selling toy aliens that look just like the alien pictures he brought up. And you look at when the toys started becoming manufactured, 7 months after he passed away. There were no existence of that particular model of toy or even that type of alien-looking toy.
That's interesting shit.
Anywhere. So, and there's also another incident, for example, called the McPherson tape. If you type that in on Google, you will not find a thing. You type that in on DuckDuckGo, you'll find some things. You type that in on the dark web, much better. The McPherson tape was allegedly a family that was celebrating a birthday, literally got abducted by gray aliens that landed on their front yard in a
UFO. On camera,
because they were filming the birthday. Yeah. Three aliens literally walked in the grays, abducted all of them, made them all with using telepathic abilities, knocked them out, and then abducted them, and that was it. Except the person filming, I believe it was the father, I think, he did not get abducted by them. He kept filming. Now, this apparently occurred. And then 6 months later, after all these rumors and speculation, a no-name director with a no-name cast that has never directed, written, or acted in anything before or after that film made a film called The McPherson Tape, which was a parody. Now, here's what's interesting. There was a live airing on a Japanese radio station about 20, 30 years ago of the alleged real event. And the frame rate, the footage of the way the aliens looked is pretty different to the ones shown on the fake tape. So
it's like they took the real tape, they reenacted, you know, messed around, reenacted it, and then said this is it. So then if anyone even happens upon the real one, it's like no, this is what you are seeing.
Sounds like typical Hollywood fuckery.
Well, again, what? Right.
Well, they're not lying. They're just giving it to us in a way that they want us to see so that they can still direct the narrative.
Well, it shows you the events. One final thing, Ronald Reagan in the 80s, near the end of his administration, allegedly wanted to go, before the Alzheimer's really hit him, he wanted to go public with the extraterrestrial. He wanted to confirm their existence on Earth and all that and say literally they come in peace and what have you. He wanted to go public with the United Nations Secretary General at the time. And what happened was he wanted to go with the UN Secretary General and do a press conference in the White House. And this UN Secretary General, I believe he was from Latin America. I forgot which, I think Colombia. But anyways, Reagan wanted to bring him on because he had far more knowledge than Reagan did about the secret space program. The night before this press conference was set, and we know that there was a press conference because the transcripts are there. It was a canceled Reagan administration press conference. But the night before, the UN Secretary General, he got abducted by gray aliens, and people believe it was the CIA that did that, using the control to spook him. Now, think about it, to spook him from, and then he, at the 11th hour, to go tell Reagan, Mr. President, You don't know what just happened to me. We're not going to do this. Very similar to how, again, when you owe money to someone in the, in organized crime or something like that, what do they do to get their money? They spook you, right? They do something, unfortunately, to your property, something like this. Same idea, right? And so the next day, the next evening, Reagan was driving, obviously with the presidential detail, security and everything. And there was a UFO that landed right in front of him. I think it was 10 or 11 p.m. at night. And there were eyewitness accounts because he was with his assistant and the Secretary of State at the time who are on transcript describing this event. Again, the documents are there. Describing this event where Reagan got out of the car and the Secret Service was like, sir, you can't go talk to these aliens. Like, we don't know which species, we don't this and that. And then he said, fuck you guys, I'm going. That's honestly, I wasn't alive at the time.
Hell yeah,
I like
that's
that about
awesome.
Reagan though. Yeah,
he's like, I'm going to go. Super cool.
That's the way I believe it should be. So he goes, he comes back. No one knows what was said in that conversation, at least publicly. And then next thing you know, a handful of Secret Service agents end up dead 12 months later. And they were the same ones that were on detail protecting Mr. Reagan, the president, at that time, at that date. So again, like I say, this is what I say when I mean evidence, guys. I'm not saying that this is right. I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying this is what it's leading us to. What are the coincidences of all these dates and times and people?
I believe they call that circumstantial evidence.
There's so many, though. There's so many. And they can only do so much. They're not, like you said, they're humble. They don't know everything. So they can protect as many people as they can. Maybe Reagan was like, dude, they're going to kill me for having this conversation with you right now. Can you please make sure that does not happen? And they're like, yes, we can, but we can't protect your Secret Service people. Sorry, bro. So they might have tried, but they couldn't weed through it all. But they had him already targeted so they could protect him. Who knows?
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, like you said, there's so many things. I mean, at this point, like, it's in front of our faces. I mean, a friend of mine said to me, disclosure is there for those who look, right?
It's already happened if you're paying attention.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
I think at this point, my mind is getting pretty split open.
We were just kind of very underwhelmed by disclosure. We're like, oh, there's so much evidence just based on so many stories. How can so many stories be so similar and very far apart in the entire world? I mean, it's happening.
Well, and like he was talking about the Pentagon and how they can't find the audit didn't work and all this. Luis, when he went public with it, and even his attorney Sheehan was like, so basically he went back to work after that, and they told him that the entire department, the UAP department that he was working for, didn't exist.
Basically, yeah.
And then tried to say that he was lying and that it was all a farce. There was no department like that. And he's like, I was head of that department. And they're like, no, you aren't.
Lou Elizondo?
Or Lou. Yeah, Lou Elizondo.
He's interesting. He's interesting. I think that he...
What do you think about his release?
Can I be honest with you? I think he's controlled, but I also think that he's trying to push for the truth, but he's got too many strings attached to him.
That's kind of the feeling I get from him too, where he's got kind of like at least a couple fingers up his butt, but he's like trying to do stuff.
I'll be honest with you. He strikes me as the kind of guy, I have nothing to go off this. So this is just my gut feeling. When I look at him talk on the news, podcast, you name it, it's like he wants to say certain things for the simple betterment of humanity, but he knows his family, they'll be dead by the following week. If that
happens. He's like a puppy waiting for a dog right in front of his face.
But if you have any like shred of empathy, like what would you do in those shoes? That's always my stance is like, what would you do? What would you do?
That's
what,
fair.
Like, I would never not think of my family. I'd be like, okay, everybody, I swear to God, I want to say this so bad.
Right. Well, here's the thing too, though. It seems as though not so much the confirmation of aliens, but more so the programs they're running with the aliens are the secrets nowadays. Because it seems like once you get high enough in politics and you're around long enough and you come from the right family and you name it, you're pretty much told extraterrestrials are real. It's just to what extent do you know the aspect and the depth of, is your government working with them and this and that, right? I mean, there's some scary stuff too. I suggest you guys go on duckduckgo.com, search up something called Project Flickr, FLICKR. There's no E in it. And that was an investigation done by the FBI where they found that in 2000, between 2007 and 2010.
Yeah, it's a yikes.
This is creepy stuff.
I'm looking that shit up right now.
NASA, Pentagon, you name it.
Everybody look it up before we get cut off again.
Yeah, you gotta use DuckDuckGo, brother, because Google will not show this to you. But you'll find on DuckDuckGo the articles from Yahoo News, TheHill.com, and a couple others, but that's it. It was an investigation into sex trafficking and the purchasing of underage child porn from under the names of high-level Department of Defense officials, NASA officials, Pentagon officials, CIA officials.
All over.
In the thousands. So what does this tell us? The sex trafficking, again, there's more that we go into like on our Patreon and stuff, like way more, but the sex trafficking is tied in not just into using, unfortunately, people as for blackmail and using underage children like Epstein did for phenomenal, unfortunately, but truthfully phenomenal leverage on industry and things like that, but also for extraterrestrial experimentation and for many different things too. And allegedly for certain interdimensional beings that, again, use sex, the more negatively oriented ones use sex as a form of dominance. Because again, who is to say that the paranormal world and the extraterrestrial world are separate? It's very much arguable they're one and the same.
Right.
What do these negative paranormal entities tend to do in a lot of cases to people in their homes? They rape them spiritually. And some people literally claim that they're being raped, whether it's a man or a woman. They claim that they feel, I can say it because we're on Rofkin, they feel like they're getting analed in the middle of the night. And yeah. I kid you not, right? So,
dude, I was actually going to bring that up earlier when you were talking about some of the abductees feeling like they remember drinking a substance that made them feel good. That goes back to the fey folk fairy stuff where you never drink the never eat the food. You steer clear of that because that's like the tipping point of what lets them. It's like the consent type of thing. You know?
Meanwhile, Joe just said the other day that if someone abducted him, he would eat it for sure, hands down, just to experience
it. To see what happens.
And I was like, fuck you. You'd peace out then forever. You're a
maybe
dick.
Not.
I love you. What? It's not a maybe not. No one's ever eaten the food and come back. Sorry.
Not God, that we know.
Oh, man. Well, don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I don't know if I would.
I have no idea whether I would or not. I mean, it's a curiosity factor at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So I agree with that. But
I'm kind of done with this planet anyway. Fuck it.
If we didn't have kids, maybe. But kids, though.
No, right. No, I mean, all of that that he was talking about begins to get like kind of QAnon adjacent. And it's not that I ascribe to, but it seems to me at this point that what QAnon was kind of like those rabbit holes. They can lead people down by being like, you know, 50-60% right, and then get them stuck and other misinformation. And so it seems like a lot of that stuff, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is happening. I mean,
yeah,
I think what we've last seen was like at the border right now, like 500 kids go missing a day type of things. Like it's the numbers are everywhere.
That's the thing that drove me nuts about the Q stuff is I never followed it and didn't really, I knew some of the stuff and I got the general idea. We'll put it that way. But some of it is true for sure. So that seems like a general propaganda thing though, or a psyop, you know, is that there's a certain percentage of truth and then a bunch of other stuff in there that it may be the bait to pull people in. I don't know, but
the best type of lie is the one that's wrapped in truth. It's not like it's, you know, uncommon, if you will. Again, very super quick. There's been an allegation that the ones at the top are sort of not even racist, but speciesist or species. I don't know what you would call it, but
speciesist.
Racist towards certain alien races. Why do I say that? Because allegedly there's the deep belief, and this is the problem with having very old school, old mentality minded guys fucking running the show secretly, right? Which is that the ones that look human or similar to us, we get along with them better simply because we can perceptually grasp it better.
Yeah. We can relate.
Yeah.
Right. We can relate. Now, here's the thing, though. They have now disseminated that. They've preached that out into different UFO communities where people think, you know, only the good ones are the ones that are Nordics. They look like Eastern Europeans, blonde hair, blue eyes. Right. I don't believe that to be the case. I think there's a lot of them that are very selfish. I think a lot of them are very good. But I also think there's a lot of different aliens that are non-human looking that are very good as well. But again, it's this top level group that is trying to give that thing of, you know, okay, the good ones, they look like us, because again, it's putting that in your mind, right? The racist mentality. So if they can't control the color, they could at least control the shape.
It reminds me of the Rick and Morty thing. I don't know if you guys have watched Rick and Morty. It's fucking great.
Seen it all. Literally, dude, sorry, apparently everything they got in there is literally, they have more than that, is what Ben Rich was saying.
That show actually made me
think.
Do they
have interdimensional cable? Because I want to watch that shit.
But yeah, like you said, some of the good ones would be, or some of the best aliens would be the ones that look like the worst, like the Gaga Blog Blog, or, you know, some of the aliens that have like 14 holes to drill them in.
Right. Yeah.
Where did my shit go? Oh, I was gonna play a sound effect there. I need to give up the soundboard thing.
I gotta get going, guys. I gotta take a shit and get both my kids to bed.
Okay, we can close out. That's fine. Holy shit, we're almost at 2 hours.
Sorry, guys. What time is it where you are? I feel so bad. Sorry.
Nah, it's whatever. I'd be up anyways.
It's almost. Okay. I'd be up too. It's almost midnight where I am. 11:40.
Motherfuck.
Well, look outside. You might see midnight when we saw that weird shit, which shit. Looked exactly like this. So hold on. Wait, it's this way.
It looked like a green screen. Yeah.
It looked like.
I get what you're saying.
Cloaking thing. It was so similar to that where it was like you shouldn't be able to see it, but something's there. Sorry. Random.
No, right. You guys stick like around that. After we end the stream. Stick around and I'll.
We'll say bye and stuff.
Yeah. But send out your plugs first before you go.
Yeah, sure. Generation Z Podcast on Instagram. Again, Generation Z Podcast on YouTube, Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Twitter at Podcast Z. So, yeah, aside from that, thank you so much for having both of us on. It honestly was a blast. We seem to click very well, and I appreciate you guys listening to us rant.
Oh, of course. Love it.
It wasn't a rant. I feel like
it was a lot of info.
A genuine conversation.
I need to go have a cigarette about all of it.
Because we could just hang out every single day, honestly.
I need to go take my THC gummies, smoke a few cigarettes.
Yeah. Ben's like, okay, bye. It's too much.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.